Welcome to the Anchored Podcast with Pastor Reginald Wayne Sharp Jr. I am so excited that you've tuned in, and it is my prayer that these messages will always help you to remain anchored, regardless of what storm or what season you're navigating. I pray that God would speak to your heart today and that you will never, ever, ever be the same again. Stay connected to Fellowship Chicago. This is Pastor Reginald Wayne Sharp Jr. I pray you stay anchored. Peace, peace.
Acts chapter 12. I'll be reading from the New International Version, but regardless of what translation you have, it shouldn't read so differently that you'll be unable to follow. If you have it, say, I'm there. Beginning at verse 1, it says, it was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by 4 squads of 4 soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. The Bible says, Herod arrests him, planning to persecute him. Kill James, planning to kill Peter. It was during their festival of unleavened bread. Had him locked up under heavy guard. Angel shows up at the cell, touches him. Says, "Quick, get up." Stood up. Chains fell off. Then he said to him, "Put your clothes and your sandals back on." I want to preach in this second service as a spiritual guide with this thought in our hearts and minds. Put your clothes back on. Tell somebody close to you, say, "Neighbor, put your clothes back on. 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 Put your clothes back on." Yeah. Now, depending on who you are and what you do in your spare time, that can mean different things to different people. I'm just saying, put your clothes back on. 10:45, let me offer to you the same disclaimer I offer to 8 o'clock. And that is, this sermon is not for everybody. It contains nothing about haters, agitators, or instigators. It does not contain a prophetic word about breakthrough blessings that come in the forms of cars, cash, and a bigger crib. So if I miss you this morning, if I'm not scratching where you're itching, then let me apologize up front. Now, you're welcome to stay and see if you can get something out of the message. But if you opt to leave, I certainly understand. Only thing I do is ask that you would be a good Baptist. Put up one finger, don't be disruptive, and move to the door that's closest to you. You see, today's sermon is for a special breed of folks. It's for those who have developed an intimate relationship with the frustration of not being able to control everything. It is for those who have come face to face with the reality of being in something and not having the power or the ability to do something about the something that you're in. See, this is a word for those who have not just been delayed, but in fact have been rendered immobile by the weight and pressure of not being able to make happen what you both want and need to have happen in your life. So if you can relate, stick around. If you can't, no worries. Listen, I'll be gone after the 3rd service, and Sharp will see you on next Sunday. See, I have come today with a word of hope and a word of help for somebody in here who got up, got dressed, pressed your way, sung the songs, clap your hands, greet your neighbor, but you're in a season of frustration because you need something to happen. You need a move to be made. You've run out of shortcuts and solutions, and now you feel like calling it quits. If you've ever felt that way, then listen, you're not by yourself. You're in good company because you understand exactly how these folks in this text must have felt. The Bible would have us to know that they're dealing with Herod Agrippa the First. Now, Herod Agrippa the First is the grandson of Herod the Great, who ordered the children of Bethlehem to be murdered, you all. And he is also the nephew of Herod Antipas, who ordered John the Baptist to be beheaded. Don't miss what I said. He's the grandson of Herod the Great, who ordered the children of Bethlehem to be murdered. He's the nephew of Herod Antipas, who ordered John the Baptist to be beheaded. And now he has found himself in the business of killing, just like his family. But unlike his uncle and unlike his grandfather, he wants to prove that he's not an enemy of the Jewish people, but rather he should be considered an ally. So the Bible says, in order to prove that he was different, that he was nothing like them, he started persecuting the church, and the people got excited. Might I suggest to you, people of God, that this excited them for at least two reasons. Number one, attendance was down at the synagogue because of this rural movement that has now gone urban called Christianity. Number two, not only was the church growing, but it was growing because it was open to Gentiles, whom the Jews considered to be pagans. In other words, they were both preaching and practicing a whosoever will approach to evangelism. And so the record is that Herod had several believers arrested. He had James, the brother of John, arrested and then beheaded. And the Bible says that when he saw how happy it made the Jews, he said to himself, if they got that happy that I killed James, imagine how delighted they would be if I killed Peter. So he has Peter arrested and he's put under heavy guard, and the date for Peter's execution is set. And here was Peter, the leader of the church, now in prisons at the hands of the government, and a date of execution has been set. Now you must understand, people of God, there is no fancy legal system. They could not call for a stay of execution. There were no nuns, no passive resistors standing outside picketing and protesting sanctioned murder. There was no legal defense fund in order to employ a high profile lawyer. There was no social media campaign touting that Christian lives matter. So in a real way, the church had run out of options when it came to their ability to get Reverend Peter out of jail. Stick with me now. I won't be long. If you're sitting next to somebody who was at 8 o'clock service, tell them, now the new sermon starts. Again, you all, Herod has been arrested by Peter. Peter has been arrested by Herod. He has been accused, watch this, of causing disturbances within the government and creating upheaval within the Holy Roman Empire. And so Herod arrests him. And concerning his arrest, the Bible says some very interesting things. It says Herod arrested him, intending to bring him out after the feast of the Passover. Please don't miss where the text is about to take us. Herod arrested Peter, intending to bring him out after the feast. Now, you already know that in this Bible, there is never a wasted word. In a mere 66 books, 1,189 chapters, 31,102 verses, God provides insights about living, learning, and loving for all of creation, for all of eternity. Again, the Bible does not mince words, the Bible does not repeat words, and the Bible does not waste words. So I'm trying to figure out what was the necessity of saying to us parenthetically that Herod would not and could not bring Peter out to execute him until the worship feast of the Passover was over. Pope, I had to do a little bit of study, and here's what I discovered. There was a law that was put in place in Judaism that said when it came to criminals who had been arrested and their execution date had been set, you could not execute them as long as the worship feast was going on. Okay, somebody missed it. As long as they were engaged in worship, you could not kill them. Okay, as long as they were in a worship posture, you could not harm them. Okay, as long as they were in a worship position, you could not take them out. Let me try it again. As long as they were in worship, you could not execute them. As long as they were in worship, you could not harm them. As long as they were in worship, you could not take them out. As long as they were in worship, you could not get them. Okay, there was one for the Father, one for the Son. Let's try it one more time for the Holy Ghost. As long as they were in worship, you could not kill them. As long as they were in worship, you could not execute them. As long as they were in worship, you could not take them out. As long as they were in worship, you could not bother them. Here it is. Worship is one of the greatest weapons of warfare that we have. Because when you are an authentic worshiper, it does not matter what the enemy wants to do to you.
He has no choice but to take his hands off of you. Church folk don't know when to shout. I said, when you are an authentic worshiper, it doesn't make a difference what the enemy tries to do to you. As long as you've got your hands lifted, he's got to take his hands off of you. Is there anybody that knows? As long as you're in worship, God's got you. I wish I had somebody. And watch this, and watch this. Let me help you. Let me rush to tell you, worship is not what you do with an order of service and an organ. No. See, worship is what you do when you're all alone. All by yourself. There is nobody to comment. There is nobody to co-sign. And you begin to open up your mouth and give God glory. See, worship is the thing that'll get the enemy up off of you. Is there anybody here that can testify that when nobody is around, nobody is there to pat you on your back, nobody is there to tell you how wonderful you are, and you begin to think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for you, your hands go up, your mouth flies open, and all you can do is tell, thank you for all that you have done. See, worship. See, worship is the thing that will get the enemy up off of you. And watch this. It will get your enemies and your frenemies. It will get your haters and them agitators up off of you. And watch this, it'll get them up off your family. It'll get them up off your finances. It'll get them up off your faith. And it'll get them off your future. I dare somebody to lift your hands and say, I'm ready for war. I came to get my worship on. I will bless the old. I wish I had somebody. So the Bible says that while Peter was in prison, the church was praying. While Peter was in prison, the church was praying. While the pastor was locked up, the church was praying. There were no raffles. There were no big sales. There were no GoFundMe account. They were praying. Here it is. It's impossible fellowship to be an authentic church and not be a praying church. See, if you want to see power in the church, it will not be because you're a shouting church. It will not be because you're a heavily marketed church. Listen, what makes a church a powerful church is when it's a praying church. Are y'all hearing me? Listen, if we're going to heal this land, if we're going to heal our communities, if we're going to help our kids, we got to learn how to pray. Because the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. Look at your neighbor and say, there's power in prayer. Well, watch this. You ain't got to take my word for it. All you got to do is read your Bible. Because it's still in there if you didn't tear it out. Isn't it interesting that the first request that the disciples make of Jesus was not, Master, teach us how to preach. It was not, Master, teach us how to have good church. It was not, Master, teach us how to market the ministry. The first request they made was, Master, teach us how to pray. I wish I had somebody. And watch this. Listen, and I know you're real busy. I know you got a whole lot going on. Listen, I know you've got social activities, civic engagements, and the kids play soccer. I wish I had somebody. I know you're busy, but watch this. People who can't find time to pray will always find time to worry. Come on in here. Come on in here. Preach, Christopher Davis. See, watch this now. See, and some of us stop praying because we're offended. We're upset. See, we get offended over unanswered prayers. God gets offended over unoffered prayers. I wish I had somebody. Tell your neighbor, you got to pray. You got to pray. You got to pray. We got to pray. Can I tell you why? Because prayer can get you in, prayer can get you through, prayer can get you out. Okay, you missed it. Let me try it again. Prayer can get you in, prayer can get you through, and prayer can get you out. Still waiting on 12 of y'all. Prayer can get you in, prayer can get you through, prayer can get you out. I'm still waiting on 6 more, y'all. Prayer can get you in, Prayer can get you through. Prayer can get you. Who am I preaching to? I said prayer can get you in. Prayer can get you through. And prayer can get you out. If you're out of a job, prayer can get you in. If you feel like you're sinking, prayer can get you through. If you're in a bad situation, prayer can get you out. Because prayer can get you in. Prayer can get you through. Prayer can get you out. That's how some of us got in. That's how some of us got through. That's how some of us got. Have I got any help in here? That's how some of us got in school, got in a job, got in the door. That's how some of us got through the problem, got through the pressure, got through the pain, got through the pandemic. That's how some of us got out the mess, out the misery, out the mayhem. Cause prayer get you through, prayer get you in, prayer get you out. Is there anybody that knows anything about prayer? Can I show you? Can I show you? Can I show you what happens when you pray? Number one, this shouts me right here. Number one, prayer brings God's presence into people's predicaments. Okay, you didn't like that. There is this misnomer that I've always heard associated with this text, and that is when the church got to praying, it got Peter out of jail. But that's not true. Oh, I'm in the text. I don't care what somebody told you, that's not true. I know you've heard preachers shut it down and said when the church got to praying, it got Peter out of jail. I don't care how he yanked it, how he pulled it. That's not true. The prayers of the church did not get Peter out of jail. Then Davis, what did it do? It didn't get Peter out of jail, but it did get an angel out of heaven. I wish I had somebody. It did get an angel out of heaven. Somebody should have stopped and started shouting right there. Listen, prayer might not get you out your situation, but it'll get you some help from somebody who can. The text says that when the church got to praying, an angel showed up inside Peter's cell. Don't miss that, though. When the church got to praying, that's when the angel showed up. Peter couldn't get himself out. He couldn't bust out. He couldn't figure a way out. But God is so awesome that what you cannot get out of, he's been known to step over into. I wish I had some help in here. If there anybody, I'm going to find my crowd. If there anybody in here who can think of some stuff that you've been in that you couldn't get out of, and the only reason you survived it is because God stepped over in it. Let me find my crowd. I said, if there anybody in here that can think of some stuff you've been in that you couldn't get out of, and the only reason it didn't kill you is because God got over in there with you. Okay, I still ain't found my crowd. Let me find my crowd. Do you know why you survived some of the stuff you in? God stepped in. Do you know why COVID didn't kill you? Because God stepped in. Do you know why the surgery was successful? Because God stepped in. Do you know why the lump wasn't cancerous? Because God stepped in. Do you know why they didn't foreclose? Because God stepped in. Do you know why the divorce didn't destroy you? Because God stepped in. Do you know why they didn't repossess it? Because God stepped in. Somebody ought to stop what you're doing right now and just begin to bless his holy name for the fact that he stepped in. But now let me tell you what this teaches me. This teaches me, watch this, that deliverance isn't always about God getting you out of something. I knew you weren't going to shout right there. Because see, our prayer is always, God, get me out. God, please, get me out. But hear me, saints of God, every now and then, deliverance is not about God getting you out of something. Sometimes deliverance is leaving you in it, but having you look like you ain't never been through it. I wish I had somebody. See, let me tell you something. Don't look around you, look at me. There are some folks sitting around you who have no idea of what you've been through. There's some folks sitting in front of you and behind you who have no idea what you carrying. They have no idea what you're dealing with. Can I tell you why? Because you don't act like it. You don't look like it. And you don't talk like it. Can I tell you why? Because God can keep you in it and keep it out of you at the same time. Is there anybody thankful that God is a keeper?
But now, here's what I've discovered. Here's what I've discovered. Here's what I've discovered. Most churches that have smart preacher pastors have smart members. Their fellowship has a smart pastor. So that presupposes he got some smart members. And I know what the smart members are thinking right now. But David, Peter did get out of jail when the church prayed. And you're right. That's what happened eventually. That's not what happened initially. Initially, God stepped in it. Eventually, God got him out of it. Okay, I'm going to listen. For the folks that came to shout, I'm going to see, can I shout you with two words, initially and eventually. I wish I had somebody. Initially, God came to him in the middle of it. Eventually, God made a way for him to get out of it. You see, every now and then, that's what you need to help you to hold on until your change comes. You need to understand the difference between initially and eventually. Initially, I may have to deal with some pain, but eventually, God gonna bring me out of it. Okay? Initially, weeping may endure for a night, but eventually joy gonna come in the morning. Initially, the weapon may be formed against me, but eventually it will not prosper. Is there anybody in here that's going through something right now that's not afraid to throw your head back and holler, eventually? Come on, shout it like you believe it. Say, eventually. Eventually, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Eventually, they gonna mount up with wings like eagles. Eventually, they gonna run and not get weary. Eventually, they're going to walk and not faint. Ain't no need to worry about what tonight is going to bring, because eventually it'll be all over in the morning. Is there anybody thankful that he'll do it eventually? I see something else. 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 Prayer will bring God's presence into your predicament. But I see something else. Prayer has the power to bring a synchronized solution. Well, let me unpack that for you. The text says, when the church got to praying, God got to moving. And so God answers the prayer while the church is still praying the prayer. Okay, let me say it again. When the church got to praying, at the same time, God got to moving, which means God answers the prayer while the prayer is still being prayed. Church folk don't know when to shout. Okay, let me try this. God didn't wait for the amen, but he got them moving before the amen. While they were still articulating, God was already in action. I'm trying to help somebody. Listen, listen, God will address it. God will answer it. God will assist you with it while you're still praying. Okay, not after you say in Jesus' name, but while you're still praying. Not after you get up off your knees, but while you're still praying. Not after you come out your prayer closet, but while you're still praying. Not later on, not after a while, not by and by, but while you're still praying. Okay, not sure why you didn't shout there. Let me try this. I think you should have shouted right then, but you didn't. And I know the reason you did not shout is because you recognize that's not the real shout. See, the shout is not that God did it at the same time. The text says, while God answered at the same time they were praying, God did not answer in the same place they were praying. Okay, all right. The text says, while they were praying in Sister Mary Mark's house, which was serving as the church house, God sends the angel to the jailhouse. Okay, you're still not there. God doesn't send the angel to the church house because that's not the house where they needed the help. God sent the answer to the place of the problem. Okay, I don't know why y'all not shouting. I came to make an announcement for everybody that's ready to shout.
While you're in here, which is the place of prayer, God's going to send the answer to the place of your problem. And if there anybody who's got faith enough to believe that while you're praying up in here, while you're praising up in here, while you're worshiping up in here, God's going to handle some stuff out there. He's already at the doctor's office. He's already at the interview. He's already at the bank. Touch everybody you can reach and tell him he's already there. Tell him, say he's already there. Tell him he's already there.
Wait, okay, 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 okay. Do me a favor. Do me a favor. Because there's about 13 people in here that still don't want to go. Do me a favor. Listen. In just a few minutes, I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, listen, I want you to name. You can say it to yourself. You can holler it out loud. I need you to name a place where you need God to show up and show out. Listen, if you know the address, you can call the address. If you don't know the address, you just give God a landmarker. You can say, Lord, my child's house. On the college campus, at the doctor's office, at the bank, just wherever you need God to show up, on the count of three, I want you to yell it out. You got it? You got it? You got it? On the count of three, here we go. One, two, three. Now wait, wait, wait. Did you yell it out? Did you yell it out? Did you yell it out? God told me to tell you, he already there. I wish I had somebody. Is there anybody thankful that he's already there? Okay, 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 okay. Wait, 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 wait. He's already. Wait, 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 wait. Hold it, 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 hold it. Listen. I know you want to shout right there. And I want you to shout right there. But I need you just to hold your shout. Because I want to turn this text one more time. And see, in about 42 seconds, we're going to move into the red. See, the red lets me know how long I can preach. But it does not govern how long you can shout. I wish I had somebody. So listen, let me take this last little bit of time. Turn this text one more time. And then you just shout till you get tired. Is that all right? Watch this. Here's the third point. Here's the last thing. Prayer can release a rapid recovery. Okay, watch this now. When the church gets to praying, there is a release before the recovery. I'm in the text now. The first thing the angel has to do is release Peter from the place. Watch the text. The text said that when the angel stepped into the prison, he said, quick, get up, chains fell off. Angel gave one instruction, quick, get up, chains fell off. Quick, get up, chains fell off. It is when he changed his posture that the chains fell off. Angel said, quick, get up. When he got up, chains fell off. Here it is. Every now and then, you got to make a move. Because the Bible says when he got up, the chains fell off. I said when he got up, the chains fell off. I dare somebody to just to get up. Just to make a change in your posture and see when God shifts your position. God told me to tell everybody that just stood up, your chains just fell off. Everybody, your chains just fell off. Everything you're dealing with, everything you're struggling with, everything you're going through, everything you're wrestling with, it just fell off. And it didn't just fall off of you, it's falling off your babies. It's falling off your family. It's falling off your finances. It's falling off your children. It's falling off your mind. Is there anybody thankful that it just fell off? But wait, wait, wait. Pope, can I have 30 more seconds? Watch it. Watch the text. Quick, get up, stood up, chains fall off. That's when we shouted at 8 o'clock. But that's not what we're going to shout at 10:45. The angel said to Peter, put your clothes on. Quick, get up, chains fall off, put your clothes on. You know what? I know why y'all ain't shouting. I know why you ain't shouting. Because you don't want everybody in your business. So let me tell it so you don't have to tell it. If you've ever been locked up or watched a television show depicting somebody that's been locked up, the first thing they do after they get your mugshot and your fingerprints is they take everything that belongs to you. They take your clothes. The one that captures you takes everything from you. The one that locks you up takes all the stuff that belongs to you. The one that imprisons you takes everything you brought with you. But when you stand up and change your posture and the chains fall off, God said, the first thing I'm going to do is give back to you what the one who incarcerated you took from you. Here it is. The text is tailored to teach us that when the church gets to praying, everything the devil took from us, God's going to give it back to us. The angel told Peter, and I came to tell fellowship, it's time to put your clothes back on. Everything the devil took from you, put it back on. Put your joy back on. Put your peace back on. Put your confidence back on. Put your smile back on. Put your love back on. If there's anybody in here that's ready to put your stuff back on, then say yes. Say yes. Look down your row and say, put your clothes back on. Tell them, put your clothes back on. Tell them, put your clothes back on. Everything the devil took from you, put it back on. Everything he thought is going to keep, put it back on. Everything you robbed from, put it back on. I dare you. I dare you. There's some mom in here, some grandmama, some daddy. You've been praying with your kids. You've been praying for your kids. You want them to come to church, and they won't come because they feel like God has forsaken them. All they can see is what they've lost, what didn't work out, what hadn't turned around. Listen, don't send them no sermon. Listen, don't preach them no sermon. Listen, I want you to send them a text, and the only thing I want you to tell them is, put your clothes back on. I wish I had somebody put your clothes back on. Everything. Everything that the devil took from you, God is about to give it back to you. Can you believe it? Do you receive it? Then come on, clap those hands and give God praise. Listen, if you're here today, if you're here today, listen, so often in the church, we tell people you don't have to leave the way you came. And I want to tell somebody today, you may have come in naked, but you don't have to leave naked. You may have come in stripped and robbed of your stuff, but God told me to tell you everything that the devil took from you. Hallelujah. God's going to make him give it back to you. And have you ever noticed on them cop shows, when they take your stuff, they just ball it up and throw it down? Ball it up and throw it down. But when they give it back, it's folded up nice and neat in a box, easy for you to carry. Don't you worry about the stuff that the enemy has balled up, because God gonna make them fold it up and give it back to you. God gonna make them fold it up and give it back to you. If you're here today and you want to put your clothes back on, you want to be in a position to get your stuff back, listen, you ought to come today. You ought to come to the place where we're passing out clothes. If you're here today and you're ready to get your clothes back on, you've been naked long enough. You've been without long enough. You've been trying to do it on your own long enough. Why don't you come today? There is space for you. There is grace for you. We've got time for you, and it's a turn for you. Why don't you come today? Is there one today who will say yes? Yes to his word. Yes to his will. Yes to his way. Why don't you come today? Is there one today Is there one today? Don't you worry about who's looking. This has nothing to do with them. This is about you and God.
Chains holding me, my soul is resting. It's just a blessing.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm free.
Is there one today?
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Listen, listen. Perhaps you're here and you're waiting. You're waiting for a shift to take place in your life. God is saying, when you move, I'll move just like that. I want to invite you to come down any of these aisles. Come down those stairs if you need Christ in your life. I promise you, Christ makes the difference in your life. Perhaps you need a church home, a community of faith, fellowship of love to be your church family. Or perhaps you want to make some changes in your life. Today's a good day to start afresh, to start anew, to put those clothes back on. If you need Christ, if you need a church home, or if you want to make some changes in your life, we invite you to come at this time. One has already accepted the call, and we thank God for this young lady. But we invite others to come at this time. As our music ministry continues to sing,
no more.
Would you come? Would you come?
My soul is resting.
God bless you.
It's just a blessing.
God bless you, my sister. God bless you, my sister.
Say praise.
Is there another?
Lord.
Is there another?
Praise the Lord.
Say praise.
Hallelujah.
The Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Is there another?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Can you help me thank God for two who have responded to the invitation? Hallelujah. My sisters, we want you to know that God has something great in store for you. Yeah, God has something great in store for you. And it's all because you decided this day to make a decision to shift your locations and change clothes. Amen. I speak chain breaking power over you.
Chains are broken.
I don't know what's had you bound. I don't know what's had you up at night. But we speak chain breaking power over your life.
Chains are broken.
What you go back to tomorrow ain't gonna look the same. It may be the same, but you ain't gonna see it the same. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank God, we thank God. I'm going to put you in the hands of our First Touch Ministry. They're going to get some information to you and from you. Can you again help me thank God for these two young ladies? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Family, can you help me thank God for Reverend Dr. Christopher B. Davis? My Lord, today. Thank you for your obedience, sir. Thank you for reminding us that when we pray, God will send some help. That's good news. That's good news. That's good news. That's good news for me. Hallelujah. Family, I don't want to belabor the time, but I do want to make sure we don't miss this moment. At the conclusion of this service, we'll have intercessors at the altar. If you need someone to agree with you in prayer concerning the areas of your life where you need to put clothes back on, where you need God to help break the chains that have had you or a loved one bound, the altar will be open for prayer. Intercessors will be here to pray for you. Amen. And we're going to close out in prayer.
Amen. We're going to close out in prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Intercessors, you can take your places. Amen. 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 You're free. You're free indeed. You're free indeed. Being free is a mindset shift. I'll no longer be shackled to my past, no longer be shackled to my previous faults and pains. Amen. Amen. You want to rededicate your life to the Lord. Hey, the Lord is still moving. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. It's already done because you made a move. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Someone's going to take you to our first touch room. God bless you. Thank you so much. Give her a hand. Amen. She said she wanted to rededicate her life back to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you please stand at this time to receive the benediction in our closing prayer? Again, after the benediction has been given, I invite you to come if you need special prayer. Amen. Amen. Elder Monica, you know what chain breaking power looks like. I'm going to ask that you lead us in prayer and close out this service. Hallelujah. You pray for so many others. I pray that the private prayers of your heart, God sends an angel.
Hallelujah. So God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God. In this place, God, we're in your presence now. And we thank you, God, for all that you're going to do in this house, God. So, God, we come now saying, Lord, forgive us for all sin and unrighteousness, Lord God. God, we want you to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit in the name of Jesus, God. So, God, as we go out of these doors, God, we know that we take you with us, God. We know that, Lord God, that prayer changes things. We know, Lord God, that prayer can change us in the name of Jesus, God. We know that prayer has all power in the name of Jesus, God. And we thank God that we heard a word that prayer, hallelujah, when the church begins to pray, God, that God will jump in it with you. He'll get in it with you. So somebody begin to praise God that he's in it with you right now in the name of Jesus, God. So we thank you as we begin to leave this place, but not your presence, God, that you are with us, God. You're with us on the jobs, God. You're with us in our families, God. You're going to be with us in the doctor's office, God. You're going to be with us in the courtroom. Come on. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you. Come on, somebody thank him right there that he's with you. Come on, begin to thank God that he's going to show up on your behalf. And we say no weapon that the enemy can form against you is going to prosper. And every foul tongue that rises up against you shall be cut down in the name of Jesus. So as you move forward, remember to pray. Come on, we pray right now that the spirit of prayer begin to fall on the church, begin to fall on each one of you in the name of Jesus, God. So we thank you, Lord God, that you are with us. We thank you, Lord God, that you're keeping us. We thank you, Lord God, that you're covering us. God, we thank you that you've got a force field around us, God. And we plead the blood over every person in this room right now. Somebody come on, begin to give God some hand clap of praise, because you know that he's with you, that he's getting in it with you right now. He's already there. He's already at the house. He's already in the hospital. We heard the man of God pray about it right now. And we thank God for the man of God. Oh, God, we thank you. Put a hedge of protection around him right now in the name of Jesus. Let no hurt, harm, or danger come to the man of God because of the word that he let God release in this house. Come on, somebody give God praise in this place. Thank him for what he's doing in your mind. Thank him for what he's doing in your heart. Thank him for what he's doing in your spirit. Come on, begin to praise him. Don't panic, God. Come on and praise him. Hallelujah! Somebody ought to give him glory. Somebody ought to know that prayer is going to change that thing. And we give him glory. And we ask you to receive our prayer in Jesus' name. As you leave this place, know that God is with you.
Amen, amen, amen. May your struggles keep you near the cross. May your troubles show that you need God. May your battles end the way they should. And may your bad days prove that God is good. I pray your entire life prove that God is good. As you leave this place, believe knowing that God is able to do just what God said God will do. Have a great week. Have a great week. Have a great week. Have a great week. The altar is open.
Hallelujah. Every promise to you. So don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. So he's able. Yeah. Oh, I said he's able.
Say
say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. Hey. Yes, Lord. 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 Say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Say yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Say yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Say have your way. Today, Lord, save today, Lord, have your way, Lord, save, Lord, save, Lord, save, Lord. We say, hey, have your way. We say, hey, we say, hey, have your way. Oh, have your way. We say, have your way. Hey, have your way. Now say, fill this place.
Place.
We want to glory. So fill this place. We need to glory. So fill this place with your fire of the Holy Ghost. With your fire of the Holy Ghost. You say when we get on one accord, you would be in the midst. So feel. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, from the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul. Yes, Lord, hey, completely, yes, my soul says yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. It's from the bottom of our hearts to the depths of our soul. We cry yes, Lord. It's completely yes, yes. My soul says yes. One more time, help me say, we sing yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul, yes, Lord. Oh, come. Says yes. I've got another yes, Lord. I've got another yes, Lord. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. To be praised, you are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are to be praised. You are Alpha and Omega.
Maker, we worship you, our Lord, for you are worthy. You're worthy, you're worthy to be praised. You are Alpha, you're at the beginning, and Omega, you'll be at the end of it. We worship you, our Lord, for you are worthy. And we give you all the glory. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. We worship our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praise. Give it to you, Lord. We give it to you. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy to be praised. Worthy to be praised. You're worthy to be praised. Worthy to be praised. You're worthy to be praised. You're an all-sufficient Savior. You're worthy. You're worthy. Oh, you're worthy. You're worthy. Lord, you're faithful. Lord, you're faithful.
Lord, you're faithful.
You showed up every time. You showed up every time.
Lord, you're faithful.
Lord, you're faithful.
Lord, you're faithful.
Lord, you're faithful.
Lord, you're worthy, Lord, you're worthy.
Lord, you're worthy.
You're so worthy. You're so worthy.
Lord, you're worthy.
Lord, you're worthy.
Lord, you're worthy.
Lord, you're worthy. Send your power, send your power, send your power.
Send your power.
We need your power. We need your power.
Send your power.
Hallelujah.
Send your power.
Send your power. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lord, you're awesome.
Lord, you're awesome.
Nobody like you. Nobody like you.
Lord, you're awesome. Lord, you're awesome. Lord, you're awesome.
Lord, we thank you. Our hearts are full with gratitude. Lord, we thank you.
Lord, we thank you.
Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord.
Lord, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you.
Lord, we thank you.
We say thank you, Lord. We say thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you.
Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you.
Hey family, I pray you've been blessed by this message that God gave me. I hope you stay connected to Fellowship Chicago through YouTube, Facebook, or our website. Go to fellowshipchicago.com today and make sure that you stay updated on all of the great things that are happening on the ship. Until we meet again, may you be blessed by the power, the peace, and the provisions of God. Peace, peace.